name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This being the first Sunday after Easter, we are looking at resurrection stories. In the Bible study group on Wednesdays, we looked at what Mark said, and today we're looking at what John said. Resurrection stories are interesting because each of the four Gospels has a resurrection story, but none of them are quite the same. Each story is meant to give us a different perspective, different learning, different hope. Let me tell you a real resurrection story. Not that I mean to say that Jesus' resurrection wasn't real. I didn't mean that at all. But let me tell you a resurrection story that is very personal to me. There was a child in Nepal growing up on the outskirts of Kathmandu in a very, very poor area. The little girl had a big sister and a mother and a father. Sadly, the mother died, and the father took a new wife. In those days, it was difficult, and still is difficult, to feed a family. And so, because the little girl was not able to bring in any money, the stepmother decided that she had to be got rid of. She whipped the child brutally to try and make the child run away. But this little girl was a tough little soul, and she wasn't going to do that. Finally, in desperation, the stepmother, took the little girl at night, naked, and threw her down the well where the women used to get water to wash themselves and their clothes, hoping that this little child would drown. Well, this little girl, whose name was Leah, whose name is Leah, was having none of that. She managed to scamper up the walls of the well, haul herself out, and find her way to a nearby shed where chickens were kept. She ate their eggs and their grain and snuggled up with them at night. She did this for quite a long time until finally one of the villagers spotted her and told the authorities. A social worker came and took her away and took her to be under care in Kathmandu. It happened that President Bill Clinton and his wife Hillary were in Kathmandu in 1995 when this happened. The social worker knew a family in Western Connecticut and asked them if they would consider adopting this little girl, and they readily agreed. When the social worker went to the Nepalese authorities and asked that this little child be adopted and sent back to America, the authorities said, absolutely not. They were ashamed that these were the conditions and that this was what had happened to this child. So the social worker was able to speak to President Bill Clinton, and he interceded and managed to get the Nepalese government to change their mind. I had a small nursery school, and the father called me and asked if I would accept this child into my school. I said yes, but just as long as she came for a visit first, so I could see how she reacted to things. She didn't walk very well because she'd been used to scampering around on 2 feet. And when it came to looking at the toys, she just took the tubs and just dumped them on the floor. And I thought to myself, oh boy. I took her, and very quickly she adapted, and very quickly she started walking upright. Very quickly she learned English. One afternoon, when I had my afternoon after school session, one of the little boys, James, a very concrete sort of a child. Most young children do think in a concrete way. They have to see and touch and taste and smell. Looked at her after she had in fact told them the story of what had happened to her. And James said, "Is that really true?" So Leah took off her pink little cotton t-shirt, because it was summertime, turned around, and there across her back were the scars from her beating, crisscrossed against that little back. They never asked her any questions again and quickly got back to playing, which is what young children do. James needed to see. So in our version of the resurrection story here today from John, Thomas needs Jesus to show him the scars. Thomas was one of those people who needed information that his senses gave him to define his world. He was one of those people who would squeeze a pineapple or sniff it to see if it was ripe. He was one of those people who would squeeze a tomato or a melon or whatever to check what it was. He would be the one that would smell the fish to see if it was fresh and push on its flesh to see that it was firm and ready. I expect there are a bunch of people that are sitting right in front of me who do that. They don't go into Stop and Shop or Big Y or whatever store you like to shop at and just grab the fruit and put it in their basket. No, 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 no. Those are the people who have to sniff and touch and squeeze. Thomas was one of those. I suspect he was a little miffed that he wasn't there when the first time Jesus came to see the apostles and the disciples in that upper room, in that house. I suspect he was a little put out. Which is why I think he said to his friends, "Well, I'm not going to believe that you saw Christ unless I see him." Very human response, don't you think? A very human response. So when Jesus comes and sees Thomas, it doesn't say this in the gospel, but somehow I have this vision of Jesus taking Thomas gently by the hand and saying, "Put your finger here. Put your finger here. Put your hand here." And I suspect that before he actually touched Jesus, which we don't know whether he did or not, Thomas falls to the ground. Falls to the ground. "My Lord, my God." In that most dramatic utterance of faith. Now, little James needed to see those scars. Thomas needed to see those scars. And let's face it, I suspect that every one of us here is scarred in some way or another. Physically scarred. It's a scar from a cesarean, knee surgery, heart surgery, brain surgery, or just those stupid accidents that kids have, falling out of trees or off ladders or off their toboggan and into a tree. I suspect that every single one of you has a scar of some kind. Maybe not Lily. She's too little. But I suspect that most of us have scars of some kind. Some of the scars we can be very proud of. The ones that saved our lives, perhaps. Others, we think, "Oh, I was so stupid to let that knife slip and cut me because I forgot to have the knife facing away from me instead of towards me." Those kind of scars. But we have other scars too. that nobody else can see except us. They're the scars that I like to say are sin scars. The scars of sins that make us privately cringe. That when we really think about it and remember those things done or left undone, we cringe. Quietly and secretly. Those are the very scars that we need Jesus to heal. In Isaiah, we are told by his stripes. Stripes is another way of saying scars. By his stripes, we are healed. We need Jesus to heal us. And guess what? Jesus knows all about it. Jesus knows all about our scars, all our shame, all the things that make us cringe. And he knew that Thomas needed to see Jesus, to see Jesus' scars. And Thomas also needed Jesus to see his own scars. We all have those scars. Now we have a little girl who's being baptized today, Lily. Her parents and her grandparents and her great family, and there's a whole bunch of them back there, they're not going to be able to stop Lily from being scarred by falling down off her tricycle or knocking out a tooth or popping her chin. They're not going to be able to stop her doing that. And they're not going to be able to stop the scars that she will have when she's older, when she's done things that she shouldn't have done. But they will be there to teach her that Jesus will love her, that he died for her, that he has taken upon himself all her sins, as well as everybody else's. On Good Friday, Paul Mangles walked down this aisle with a large wooden cross. Three times he stopped to rest and let the cross thump. What was the cross heavy with? It wasn't the wood. It was the weight of our sins. And by Jesus' death and resurrection, we don't have to carry those sins anymore. But do we believe it? Do we believe it? Jesus holds his hand out to us, even in our disbelief. And we can say, my Lord and my God. Amen.